Amen. Everyone got their Bibles out today? I've had a word burning in my heart all week, which I'm not going to get to preach this morning. Well, don't look so happy about it. You're supposed to say, Oh, you did. Brad did, yeah. I really have something on my heart, but I've just felt, you know, we've had church this morning. We've had family, we've had fellowship, we've had worship. But let me just draw attention to this one thing, that in this glorious Word of God that we have, that's come through us, to us, through hundreds of years, and God's inspiration by His Holy Spirit in people's lives. We have, as the central theme of this book, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel was, although your Bible says Old Testament, New Testament, the gospel was painted against the back drop of covenants. And those covenants are divided, broadly speaking, into two. But they not what you hold in your hand is the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word covenant probably is better understood today, the word testament, like a will and testament. Reminds me, do you have your will and testament ready in case something happens to you and you've got a family? And it's a responsible thing to have a will and testament. So we understand what a will is, having your will done. Well, the Bible is a will and testament. And in a will and testament, there's a testator who makes the conditions and has the inheritance. And then there's the heir who receives. And that's a kind of a contract that's in place. And those are what covenants are. And throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, there are a series of covenants that God makes, and in so doing reveals His plan or the gospel. So the gospel is painted against the canvas of covenants. And you could call it the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant. But that's not Old Testament, New Testament, because the gospel was announced in advance to Abraham. So the new covenant is in the Old Testament concealed. And that covenant that Abraham made with God made with Abraham was fulfilled in Christ as a covenant honored by God Himself that's unbreakable. And the testator, God, set conditions in place for that covenant to be effected. And that takes place through faith in what Jesus did on our behalf. It's His performance on our behalf, His obedience on our behalf. He qualified, and therefore we qualify. And these two testaments, or two covenants, you like, represent two ministries. The Bible calls one the ministry of life, and the other the ministry of death. The one the ministry of condemnation, and the other the ministry of righteousness, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But that's really what we hold in front of us. When we take our Bible, although it says Old Testament, New Testament, remember, in that Old Testament is the New Testament as well, the New Covenant. But it's only fulfilled in the New Testament, in Christ. And that's, we have the ministry of life. And I want to say over this church that we are committed to minister a ministry of life. The ministry of death that came in was an interim covenant made with Moses for the sake of preserving a nation until the seed of Christ would come in His fullness. And we committed to a ministry of life, a ministry of righteousness. I just want to read a letter, a friend of mine who's in the ministry, and I'm going to close with this. Friend of mine down the coast, I'd rather not mention his name. I haven't asked him permission to use his name. But he's just a short little letter, just a two paragraph. It's fascinating. Just in line of the Bible is the unfolding gospel, painted against the canvas of covenants, a will and testament of God, providing two ministries. One is a ministry of life and one is a ministry of death. One is a ministry of condemnation, one is a ministry of righteousness, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I encourage you to go read that whole chapter. This is what he says. I remember once asking my pastor about grace. He told me that grace is there for a while, but then ends. He said, no one knows where it ends, only God. But there is a point where grace runs out. Unquote. This is a confusing philosophy. Because when does grace end? What happens when it does? How do I know at any time that I've gone too far? Can you see how insecurity comes here? My well-meaning leader friend also would tell us that we can lose our salvation when we sin too much. This made me constantly wonder if my failings would exhaust God's grace and I would lose my eternal life. This stole all my confidence and joy in my journey. But what joy exploded in my soul when I discovered that my sins are not counted against me. When I found mercy afresh, when my heart became established in grace. I did not go out and sin more. I became more in love than ever with my Savior and Lord. Everything changed. No more relating to God by fear, but rather love and faith and worship and intimacy. Light and life exploded in every area of my life and heart. My marriage accelerated in love. The church I was pastoring burst into wonders and healings. It's amazing what happens when the right gospel is released. It's a ministry of life. And Lord, we thank you that we hold so preciously and so dearly a ministry that's going to bring life. That brings righteousness. That brings freedom. We are very bold because of this. The veil has been removed. We are not having a fleeing glory, but we have a surpassing glory, an ever-increasing glory. And Lord, I just wanted this morning, just through this prayer, that every thought would be in obedience, would be brought captive to the truth of the gospel. That there's nothing we can do to make you love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make you love us less. But you love us as much as an almighty God would be capable of loving us. And Lord, we pray that we would go with this burning in our hearts. But if there's anyone sitting here this morning and you don't know that you have received that free gift of righteousness, that free gift of grace into your life, that you're not sure if you have been truly born again and your spirit has been made alive to God, can I ask you, just in your hearts, if you're sitting here this morning, just resolve to say to the Father, I'm coming home. And I want to lead you in a prayer. Just where you're sitting. Between you and the Father right now. I'll lead you sentence by sentence. Pray after me. Father God, I believe that you demonstrated your love to me when you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who absorbed the full judgment of my sin and transgression that I should have deserved. And that you have qualified me through Jesus' perfect obedience, through Jesus' fulfilling the law on my behalf. Through faith, I receive that inheritance that He died to provide. I give you my life, Lord Jesus Christ. Just while every head is bowed, you see, that's the condition that we put our faith in what Christ did. Just where if you're sitting and you say, I want you to agree with me this morning, Pastor, that I've prayed that and I want it to be established. I want it to be endorsed this morning. That I prayed this meaningfully. And if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity just to look up at me for a moment. Just to make eye contact where you are with me. Because in a moment, I'm just going to look in your direction. And I want you just to, by raising your hand, I can identify with you. I'd like to pray before we dismiss this service. Anybody that I'm looking at right now, just raise your hand high enough I can see. Thank you, sir. Anybody in this section? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Anyone in this block over here? If you're looking at me now, thank you, sir. Anybody on this part of the church right now? Just so I can see where you're sitting. Just raise your hand. On the side of the church, anybody, right? Just if you're looking in my direction, just raise a hand high enough. I know who I'm praying for. Anybody, just raise your hand now. Church, can we just pray for the people around us, to our left, to our right, in front, behind? Maybe they haven't had someone pray for them for a long time, but your prayer is going out to them, right, for them right now. Father, we lift up every person in this building this morning. We pray specifically for those who've identified themselves and said, today I've prayed a prayer to say, I'm putting my faith in what Jesus did for me through His blood and His broken body. And Lord, anybody else, right now, we just pray, Spirit of God, would you come and bring a conviction? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.